Welcome to the Cannabis Connection. I am your host, Christopher Carr. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Santa Cruz Cannabis Talk Radio. How are you, Santa Cruz? Happy Friday. Hope you had a beautiful week. Excited for the weekend. Take care of yourself. Get lots of rest. My guest today, Daniel Morford, lives off-grid in the mountains of Northern California, near where he was born and raised by his back-to-the-land parents. Daniel is a regenerative farmer, author, and father of three, a lover of philosophy, meditation, yoga, and the outdoors. His writing reflects these passions of farming, spirit, nature, and family. Welcome back, Daniel.
Yeah, brother. It's good to be here.
Yeah, very excited to have you back. Can you tell the audience, where in the world are you right now?
I am in Potter Valley, which is in Mendocino County here in Northern California.
Yes, give thanks. And things are good. You took a cold plunge in the creek, and the family's doing well, it sounds like.
Yeah. I'm into the Wim Hof method.
Oh, wow. For the uninitiated, could you speak to that? That involves the cold and the breathing to control.
Right, there's a breath work.
Yes.
And cold exposure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wim Hof. He's an amazing guy too. He came to Santa Cruz one time. My friend Justin played some music with him in a creek.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. In the San Lorenzo River. Yeah. And they were doing just that. It's perfect.
Oh yeah. I mean, it increases your like serotonin and, you know, for your endorphins, you know, for a long time after you get in that water.
Amazing. Yeah. And connecting with the source, right? Getting back to the source.
Oh yeah. The breath work's really powerful. Yeah. It's, you know, it's the natural high.
That's right. Amen to that. Well, it's been a few years and I had the privilege of growing Swazi. I grew velvet cherries. Cross. Mm-hmm. I grew some wonderful genetics. Your genetics did actually better than other local genetics I sourced with that were very resistant to the marine layer and the mold and things that can happen in the Santa Cruz Mountains. So you're quite the seed steward and have been speaking about that since, you know, years ago we had the show together. But I've also followed, I heard you on Shaping Fire, some other friends' conversations, really fascinating work. But can you give us a little bit, let's catch up a bit on your Pride of the Lion and some fun, maybe things that you discovered this year or some news. Because this is an interesting time of year. This is a good sweet seed swapping season. Love to talk seeds.
I'm sitting at my oak seed desk right now in the seed office. So this is where I do my separating, packing for shipping. I have barely even started going through 2023 stuff. I still have some from 2022 and flower to go through. But last year was a fun year because the pond was full. And it like actually overflowed for the first time since the drought's been hitting us. It got really full the year before, but didn't quite overflow.
Yeah.
And it's full again, just like as of a week ago. So we were able to plant our full nursery.
Nice.
And then I have a couple other projects outside of Heart Rock Mountain Farm. And you know, luckily pollen isn't in track and trace. So, you know, I can take Heart Rock Mountain Farm pollen and really put it anywhere.
Amazing.
That was like in 2016 when Prop 64 passed, I was reading, you know, some of it, and I saw the nursery license option, and I called my dad up right then, and I said, Dad, you know, I think we should go legal. We can get a nursery license, we can flower out 5,000 square foot for seed. And we did. We were, you know, number 400 in the program, which I think got up to 1,000 people.
And wow, congrats. Now
there's less than 300 people still in the program.
I know. That's so sad to hear. It's been a hard.
Well, you know, if you're upset about that, wait till you see what capitalism has done to the rest of the planet.
Amen. Amen. I mean, it's like a case study of how to wreck something beautiful. But I mean, congrats on taking that step in stewarding your family, right? And in a new era. I'm not sure what a post Prop 64 era is, but it's definitely new.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's a ghost town up here, right? In Northern California, for what it used to be. And I mean, I think I did a post about it maybe last year, you know, or the year before. That I called it the Great American Thistle Bowl, because, you know, I was in the driving by gardens and there's just thistles growing up from
thistle bowl and stuff like that. Wow. Yeah. That's well said and heartbreaking. And for people, yeah, listening all over, they may not realize how it's a ghost town in Northern California and how devastating this implementation of a new era has been.
You know, industries boom and bust. You know, like, this isn't the first. You know, there was the timber industry, the milling industry, and which I think, you know, they should. But it happens to other things. There's booms in construction, you know, but maybe this could have been avoided with better policy. I guess it all could have been avoided with better
policy.
With actual leadership, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so many rabbit holes we could go down, brother. You know.
No, I feel it. I love staying on the positive. I do want to speak to the book. You know, I don't want to go. We could go for hours, and I know we wouldn't miss a thing, but we might overlook Love Grows, and that's something to be very excited about. That's good. This is the good news that we're sharing on the show today. What is Love Grows? Tell the people.
So it's a book of poetry so I'm almost 40, and I've been writing since I was 16 years old. My stepmom gave me a notebook. Yeah, just a couple more years since I've been farming, I've been writing. So my 16th birthday, which was also, I think, my fourth leap year birthday. But anyway,
I got a notebook. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm about to be 10.
Nice. So you're not 40, you're almost 10. You're 9.
So I got a notebook, and it sat on my desk for a couple weeks. And the poetic version of what happened is I say one night I was pulled by the gravitational force of my chair. The notebook flew open, a pen levitated up in my hand, and I sat back in amazement as poetry was written. But in reality, I sat down at my desk one night and said, okay, you're supposed to write in these. But prose came out. I just took as soon as I put the pen to the paper, I could almost see that first verse I wrote. I could see that first notebook, and it was prose, and it just kept coming. And, you know, some of that, you know, teenaged angst and stuff is pretty bad. But then I also wrote stuff like, you know, bars of freedom, like in high school, like my eyes might lie, but I look through the bars of freedom and I see no democracy, you know? So I was also, you know, they were, you know, art is also, especially like writing poetry, it can be also, you know, a commentary on what's happening in our society. And it's always been a reflection of my emotional life. And, you know, I just kept at it. And, you know, when I was on 24 years old in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and because I went to the university there. And I had a bong full of DMT. And, you know, there was these beings there, endless number of them in the lotus posture hovering above the water. And, you know, I ran down the ocean. I put my hands together and I said, thank you. And I didn't know to who at that point, but I knew for what, for existence. And one of these beings in the lotus posture made of light comes up to me, looks me in the eyes. And it was like Satori. It was instant enlightenment. But as quickly as it came, it went away. And then, you know, so my explorations, like other pilgrims before me with psychedelics, led me to yoga. And yoga, the true yoga, not hatha yoga, which is just physical postures, but yoga, union of soul to spirit. And it was actually a poem I wrote that day that landed me a copy of Autobiography of a Yogi. And, you know, I've been doing Yogananda's techniques on meditation, you know, since 25 years old. And, you know, in the past couple of years, I'm beginning to scratch the surface of altered states of consciousness, of, you know, transcendental meditation, of opening energies into me, like, you know, like some pretty good stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, that's a very powerful book too. For those listening, can you speak to Yogananda a little brief? Maybe they've never heard about. I've read that. I listened to that book and want to read it.
Did you get the Ben Kingsley one?
I think I did. Yeah,
yeah. That's, it was that's brilliant. There's another version out there that is pretty bad.
No,
pretty
I think I listened. Effort. I listened, and it was beautiful to absorb his teachings in that form audibly while doing a lot of farming, while gardening. I did a lot of, there's a couple seasons there, because it is a powerful, almost like,
yeah,
it's a big book too. It's a
I mean, I when I got feeling. A copy of it, I read it in 4 days straight.
Good for you. Yeah. Cause so you, yeah, were, Yoga, you went in.
Yogananda is a monastic from the Swami order in India. And, you know, from the first day he met his guru, he told him that you're going to go to, you know, you're going to go to America. And so you got to go to school because a college degree is going to be helpful. Like day one, they meet, you know, he's like, you're and
yeah,
you know, because like growing up, I thought the world would be a better place if Jesus just would have written books, you know, yeah. But then I read Yogananda's commentaries on the gospel and I see we didn't have the knowledge of the atom and the universe and some of these, you know, and it was a really dark time. So, you know, it's, Yogananda's wealth of written work is truly amazing and, you know, a master, right? Someone who has, you know, liberated himself from, you know, the bounds of the three universes.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, so my writing, you know, it still reflects all these things in my life. Like you'll see a lot of images in the book of seeds and farm, you know, there's the farming stuff going on there and then you see like the spirituality and, constellations on page 104, you know, I actually wrote this in Santa Cruz.
Oh, let's hear it.
This is, and I was at a party, like playing music with some friends and, you know, this girl came up to me later and I said, and she's, what do you want to do? And I just started laughing. And then I said, this verse just came out of me. It was, you know, and she said, what do you want to do? And I laughed out loud or inside my head and said, I want to fly. I want to touch the stars and take them into my arms and put the brightest ones into a pouch. Then I'll wait for a day with no sun and I'll walk into a redwood forest, deeper and deeper through the trees until I'm in a night with no moon. Then I'll find a meadow underneath a sky that has never known stars. I will remove the contents of my pouch and plant them in the ground, for they have become seeds. And I will sit and wait and watch as they sprout, as they grow, as they flower, and as they bloom, their petals fall to the meadow's soft grass and make a bed for me. The pollen grains swirl around me and they fill the meadow. They collide like atoms and fuse like molecules, and they become galaxies and universes and stars. And then they leave me and roll across the empty sky like waves that break deep at sea. And as I lay down to sleep, constellations form from my dreams.
Wow. That's nice too. I appreciate that you said it was when you were living in Santa Cruz. Captures moments in your life, I imagine, these poems.
So yeah, so the, you know, the majority of this book came through from like 24 to about 36. It was like, and then, you know,
12
COVID
years.
Hit. Yeah. COVID hit and I didn't really, want to, you know, self published during COVID. Cause I wanted to like, you know, have a party and see people. And also I wrote a lot more during COVID. And I think I, you know, so then I took some poems out of it and then really worked on the editing took long and the artwork took forever to get, but it's, you know, so beautiful, so worth it. You, my friend Kai Weiliter is a visionary artist and he helped me bring this to life. And it's interesting too, like, you know, in that time period, I would write maybe 10 good poems a year. You know, it was really sifting letters from the sands and it was a slow process. But then from 36 to even this past year, I've written more in these past 3 years than I did in the previous decade.
Wow, fantastic. What's different? Or is it fatherhood? Is it family? Is it all of the above?
Well, it's a progression. It's a spiritual path. Actually, it's in.
Wow, nice.
And I actually just learned this too. I do the final, technique Paramahansa offers, Kriya Yoga, and I started about 36, and a year into it, just the floodgates of energy opened. I don't know if you've heard of Kundalini awakening, which is from the root up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm experiencing from the crown down.
Wow.
So, and not just in meditation, it'll be like cooking or the grocery store. All of a sudden waves of energy start flowing up and down my spine. And,
amazing.
Are you familiar with the Bible verse that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God?
Wow.
So the Hindu stages call the medulla oblongata, the mouth of God. It's where the spine connects to the brain, and it's our seat. It's our antenna of cosmic energy. So, I'm drawing in energy from the universe. I'm magnetizing the cerebral spinal centers, achieving deeper and deeper states of consciousness, and bringing in this energy, which has just blossomed my creativity and my ability to work without taking days off.
I laughed out loud, which is true.
I worked from May till November. I had 2 days off and 2 days of the flow.
Oh my goodness. And I just have a full house.
And I just transferred my writing over from the year. There's 40 gems of poetry from my poems that I just because normally during the farming season, I'm giving all my creative energy to the farm, to the plants, and a few poems trickle in, but
you're busy.
Yeah. The next book is written too already. It's not formatted or editing, but this was the summer of 2022, and my dog Mookie was dying. And this poem came to me about love, and I wrote it down. And then, my intuition said, listen, you got to look out. More of these are coming. And I wrote like 10 in 10 days and 15 in 15 days. And, and then I'm at the river with the family in summertime, and I'm sitting there on the shore, and something different happened. I felt the presence of a poem, and I really had to tune in, really had to listen to bring it in and write it. Never experienced anything like that.
Wow, that's beautiful. I've heard in biographies, I think Neil Young is quite a poet, and sometimes I love his lyrics, and he speaks to, is it the muse? Like the presence of a poem is a poem in and of itself in some ways. But yeah, I love it. That the feeling of something there, and to take the time to create in those fleeting glimpses, those moments, that's really, really important and special, because now you've kind of opened up those floodgates. You've tapped into that cosmic energy.
And, it's in this lecture I just heard on Kriya Yoga recently, it's like, yeah, it can increase your intellectual pursuits, your creative pursuits. It's, and I'm definitely can see that in my own life. And so I'm excited for this book. This has been a long time coming. I mean, I've worked so many years on it, and I'm excited for the next one.
Hey, that's great. Might as well. When it ebbs, it flows, and when it flows, just go with the flow. It's exciting. The one before I forget, is that in Love Grows, the love poem about, was it Moki, the dog?
Oh yeah. No, that isn't in Love Grows. Okay. Love Grows was completed.
It's older. At that time. It's older.
Yeah.
But no, maybe a love poem, if there's a love. I mean, if there.
Oh, yeah, there's a.
That's a silly question. But I want to hear another poem if that's cool with you.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah. This is towards page 156 on the book. It's called Be Love. Thank you to those who died for love so that we could live for it. And thank you to those who still fight for love, so we can see just how strong love is. And thank you to love for being love, so that we could be love too. I'm ready. Could you be love?
I love Be Love. I've heard that one before.
Yeah, that's a little Could You Be Love, like the Bob Marley.
Of course. Yeah. I know.
That was also life changing, like Bob Marley's music.
It was definitely love driven. Yeah.
I was at Reggae on the River.
Ooh.
I was 20, 21, and Dave and Steven were on the stage, and the concert bowl's packed, and I'm in the back, and they're singing Could You Be Love, and I remember stopping dancing, and tears are streaming down my eyes, and I raise my hand, and I go, I could be love.
Yeah, good. You answered the question. Yeah.
And, you know, I've written so many different things about love, because, you know, love is infinite, and it's like, you know, how many different ways could you take the inspiration of love and put it into prose or art or anything? Like, so many, forever, you know, it just goes on forever, you know.
Yeah,
because this is our consciousness, at least this present moment. This is the halls of eternity. This goes on forever. Most of us don't see beyond the breaks of death and birth, and, you know, but eventually we all do.
Wow. Yeah. The Love Grows title really resonates for my experience today. I want to say happy birthday to Sophia Rose. My little bird is two today. This is her second birthday, January 26th. And becoming a parent, becoming a father, like, I had some idea of love before. But once you start caring for a family and your children, that's my idea of love has grown and continues to grow. And that's certainly like the infinite capacity and how it is like the halls of eternity. That's like the love I feel for my children. And that's a very important. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to discover in life and not know that was going to happen. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. You surprised really didn't realize, me. You really didn't realize just what love was until you figure it out.
And
so all of our relationships give us this opportunity to express the divine love, and, you know, between a parent and their child, usually the mother love is like usually the supreme example of that. 'Cause it's unconditional, you know, like, the mother's, you know, very forgiving, but, you know, to experience it too as, you know, my oldest is seven. And when he was born, it kind of like threw me off my meditation practice. And then when I came back to it solidly, like, you know, almost 2 years later, my meditations were deeper because becoming a father had awakened my bhakti, my devotion, and my love. Because, you know, love is a shortcut. You know, you could solve the equation of the universe, or you could just write love on the board, you know?
Yeah. Well said.
So your daughter is Sophia, middle name Rose, or
middle name? Middle name Rose. Yeah.
My middle child, Prima, her middle name is Sophia Rose.
Oh my gosh. I never knew that. How wonderful. Oh, wow. Yeah. So in a way, and that's funny that I said Sophia Rose, like her middle name. That's beautiful. Yeah.
And actually,
those are family names for us, but it's beautiful that there's that connection. How cool.
Yeah. And Prima is like the first spirit that contacted me as a spirit. It, you know, we were at Alma's Ashram in the Bay Area, or her meditation there. It was actually the Oakland hotel when she was visiting, and Amma as a humanitarian and a saint from India, and we're in the hall. Is it? And we knew we were gonna try for another child, and we were gonna dry in a couple months to have a winter baby. That was, you know, and I'm sitting there in meditation and I felt this presence in my consciousness, and a woman's voice says, "My name is Prima. I'm coming to your family."
Wow. Wow. I'm coming to your family. You got the download. That's nice.
Yeah. And you know, since then I've been in contact with other, you know, presence from this world and other ones, but it's, you know, it's on the path. It's, you know, certain things do have, you know, Ram Dass talks about it and stuff, but you know, a lot of the stuff is just entertainment, because we're here to be entertained, we're here to be educated, and we're here to be liberated.
Wow.
We're all here to become Buddha.
And what does that mean, to become Buddha?
Awakened, right? The Buddha, the awakened one. So, you know, Christ had achieved that. Jesus had achieved that state. You know, Buddha, Krishna, Yoga, many other people, and even saints today.
Wow. Yeah. Liberated. Entertained, educated, liberated.
But the thing is, so spirit is so... Free will is also paramount in this version of the universe. And, you know, it's supposedly, you know, we're in version 2 or 3 of the universe. And in the first universe that was created was perfect. There was no illusion or Maya or Satan, as the Christians call it, you know. And life evolved in that universe. And when that life evolved in that perfect universe and got into the vehicle such as this body where it could perceive itself, instantly that life form said, "I am Brahman. I am he." You know, here we get to figure it out a little bit longer.
It's a little more humbling. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's like once upon a time we were born in the Garden of Eden, and this time we get to make it. And you know, we make it in our own hearts, and you know, we get to also figure it out, you know, try to make this world a better place too. But if all you do is find peace in your heart and love in your heart, you've done it. You've taken part in changing the world, the universe. You know, I read in that, you know, the heart, the size of your fist, and you know, the universe is just infinitely large. You know, a purified heart reverberates through the entire cosmos.
Wow. Yeah. And some of these best practices, right, some of these meditations and teachings are assisting in that, on that path to purify the heart.
Well, I mean, you can have a pure heart without any sort of teachings or practice. If you do come to, you know, because the techniques are simple. You know, yeah. Like move this way, breathe that way.
Breathe right? that way,
know?
Yeah.
But the energy required to master them, you know, and so there's pranayama or breath work, right? But it's not about the breath. It's about gaining access to the cerebral spinal centers and the energy that's in there. And, you know, they say at first, the first kind of energies you feel are your own soul, which, you know, our souls are a mirror image of the infinite. So we have this all inside of us. And
wow.
You know, so, and then once you learn the energy control, you just, you know, and then it takes time too. It's like if you were to put in the wrong light bulb into the socket, it would burn out.
Yeah.
So the same thing, the yogis are that you have to raise your vibration until you can
take the voltage,
take the current flow, and I see that now as like sometimes it's really intense when the currents start to flow, and I see why I do these like yogic techniques for energizing the body and keeping the body sound, because once those currents start to flow, it's like, wow, okay, that was intense, but I want more.
Wow, the source. Yeah, no, that's, you know, and people get hung up with the words and the kind of social connotation and of raising one's vibration. Mm-hmm. But those ancient teachings really are speaking literally.
And most people get hung up on the dogma.
That's right. That's right. Dogma.
There's dogma in science, right?
Yeah, science in and of itself. It's become dogma in some circles.
So most people, like an atheist is just someone who disagrees with someone else's definition of what God is. And, recently someone posted like, oh, what's the difference between like religion and spirituality? And the thought came to me that religion tends to have more of the people who locked up Galileo for saying that the sun isn't, or the earth isn't the center of the solar system. And spirituality tends to have more people like Galileo who discover the mysteries of the universe.
That's a good, that really sends it home. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
for sure.
I'm a wordsmith. I've always had a way with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's definitely dogma too. That's interesting. We're speaking dogma deliberately because I was on a walk either yesterday or this week and I walked by, there's this beautiful Catholic, the Shrine of St. Joseph on Westcliff. It's this kind of right there on right against the water. But I walked by and it was lit at night and I was like, what a beautiful place to facilitate a relationship with a higher power. But I was like, I just don't like all that dogma though. Like all the stuff and the ornate. It's just this the dogma this that really, caught me up.
Really funny story, and it was from a Self-Realization Fellowship magazine. And Self-Realization Fellowship is Yogananda's organization. And there's a story in there. This was during segregation, and there was a colored janitor who cleaned this church, and he'd never been baptized, and he wanted to get baptized in the church that he cleaned. And half the congregation was really for it, and the other half was really against it. They're like, okay, we're going to do it. It's going to happen today. And he's there. And then they come out and they're like, I'm sorry. It's just, we can't do it. And he's there crying outside the church. And Jesus comes to him and he says, don't feel so bad. I've been trying to get in there ever since they built the place.
I love it. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I love it. Don't feel so bad. It's true. We get in our own way sometimes as humans.
And what people, like my wife was raised Catholic and she, it's like they don't like the word religion makes people cringe. The word God makes people cringe.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Even me at the beginning, I'd be like, okay, the universe and that's the thing. So faith as defined by Yogananda is spiritual practice put into action. So you do not come to blind faith at the beginning of the journey. You develop blind faith towards the end of the journey. When someone has taken you so far, when you've gotten the results from this particular path, where everything, so the rest of it is probably true then. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, what universe we're in. It doesn't matter what version of reality. All that matters is finding peace in your heart and love in your heart. And the rest is, it's fun. It's esoteric, the esoteric. But you don't get lost down the rabbit holes. Don't get lost in the show of politics and divisiveness of this world. Don't even pay attention to it if it takes you off your center. Because the show must go on, and it will go on. But what we need is you to find peace in your heart and love in your heart. And if you you probably can't do that watching CNN or Fox News.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Peace in your heart, love in your heart. Yeah, don't be fooled. And I like the way you said it. Don't let the winds of distraction put you off your center. That's well said. And that's timely. We're getting into this 2024. It's an election year. This is going to be a blustery, full of distractions, and that's just how it goes. But to be centered with peace in your heart, love in your heart, that's a good, place to be.
So yeah, there's a poem I wrote recently. It's not in the book. It's called The Eve Of.
Nice.
You might say it is destruction, chaos, war, revolution, rebellion, anarchy. But don't worry, my friend. I tell you the truth. We are on the brink of love.
Yeah.
because, you know, that's the thing about the people who hold power in this world is, and when you take power by force, you have to hold it together. And there's not an empire that has ever kept it together.
Never.
And, you know, and in some ways, we are definitely witnessing the end of the American empire and, you know, but those British empire, Roman empire, you know, and I think we are in a new age. And, you know, there's some really amazing, beautiful, positive things happening. And
I agree.
You know, it's interesting, you know, the Egyptians, the Mayans, the Hindu sages, they talk about a 26,000 year cycle, which is actually the orbit of our galaxy around the grand center of the universe.
Whoa. So,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard that before too, but didn't know the context. I've heard that number.
600 AD, we were the point furthest away from the grand center of the universe. We are in the heart of darkness. And the Kali Yuga lasted for another 1,100 years, 1,700. We emerge from the Kali Yuga. We see the invention of the light bulb. But today, a lot of people still have that mindset, you know, and it's not linear. It's not just a straight shot. There's two steps forward, one step backwards, one step another dimension. You know, it's in, you know, the if you look at like what can happen in permaculture and ecosystem restoration, right? You can take a barren wasteland and 10, 20 years, it's a lush jungle again. You know, which let me pull up that bone.
Yeah, that's a powerful analogy in the healing and the rejuvenation of life finds a way, and you can be healed. You can rejuvenate.
So it's like, you know, sure, like there's, we have our issue, you know, and we're all just different types of plants, or it's all the same thing, right? And the same thing can be applied to our societies, our cities, our towns, our you know,
yourself.
We started doing that ecosystem healing. Restoration, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're talking about yourself, you know, your diet, your exercise, your environment, what you're taking in,
patterns,
and what's coming out of you is like, you know, like Jesus says, you know, like it matters. It's not as important what comes into you, a man, but what goes out of a man. Like, what is your action saying? You know, like, but it, you know, what is, you know, so there's, you know, we're gonna do a poem break here.
Yeah, so yeah,
love,
give thanks.
Love rising, greed will take and take until there is nothing left except a barren wasteland. But have you seen what love can do with a desert? Love does not bring an oasis to the desert. Love brings a jungle to barren lands. Greed will consume with insatiable hunger all resources. But no matter how love has been buried, the seed will always sprout. Hey, Prima.
Hi, Dad.
Hi.
Hi, Prima.
I'm on a podcast. And Prima, Christopher's daughter's name is Sophia, and her middle name is Rose. And your middle name is Sophia Rose.
Just like you, Prima. Great name.
Oh, Buffy.
So, Prima, I'm just going to be a little bit longer in here. So, can you go hang out in the living room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll be right out.
How sweet. That's Brody, wonderful.
I'll be right out, okay? I'm almost done.
And like a seed, it still grows. That's beautiful, yep. Man. So for the listeners, there is a place in Ukiah to, how can we support the works or get a copy, right? I want to support that piece because I want to keep having poem breaks, but I don't want to miss. I'm totally going to get lost and forget.
So you can follow my writing at Heart Rocks for Peace on Instagram, the Heart Rock Poet on Twitter. And you can email me at heartrocksforpeace@gmail.com. And right now I just published 100 copies. They're just available through me. I'll mail them to you wherever you are. And they will be start to get into, you know, local shops and bookstores.
The package came. came up with a screwdriver and a dryer.
Okay, Bodie, I'm... Yeah.
You came up with dryer right
now. I'll be right out.
We're almost done. We're almost done.
And then, yeah, and then I will... They're not available on print on demand from Amazon yet. They probably will be. I'm just... You know, I just wanted to print 100 copies, see how they looked, and you know.
Yeah, that's nice. No, that's beautiful. That's, and congrats. I'm so happy for this next chapter. I'll get my copy here. I'll follow up with you, and we'll get this going. One thing I want to talk about, though, your beautiful picture in that amazing studio.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
speaking, we've always been at events. You always share a poem, but the importance of speaking the poetry aloud and having you read it, and I want to speak to that a little bit and hear your thoughts on, you know, the importance for wordsmiths and authors to read their works and capture that audio, because that's something emotional.
You know, I've wanted to do an audiobook since this book was finished, and I was, you know, looking at the options at maybe like the college or whatever, and you know, I saw the Mindo Dope band post their home studio, and you know, they're friends, so I was like, hey guys, can you nice. Brother out?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So yeah, I've had two sessions in with them, you know, probably one more to finish it, and then probably another one to go back through and maybe do some other takes.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, they said that I was radio ready, because you know, I have recited these, and I've edited them to try to read like I would read them, you know, because I do really enjoy to read them. And, you know, at one point I had half my book memorized and could recite them from memory.
I remember we had shows in the early times getting to know each other, and you would just, I think it was all memory. You would just start saying a poem mid conversation, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is off of memory. It's great.
I definitely still have some of them memorized, and I do love to recite them, and you know, so and
there was, I think I just want to share one memory I have of you just like being on stage on a panel. I think it was like a regenerative gathering right before COVID. It was early 2020, around like this time, maybe late January, early February, across the log cabin. You know, I think it was Layton was the organizer of that event a long time ago. And I think you did Love Grows in front of, or this, our memory's so crazy. I get things kind of mixed, because there was also Emerald Cup too.
Yeah, the Emerald Cup one I did, Love Shapes the World.
Love Shapes the World.
Luther Burbank.
Oh, that was such a good one too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, oh, man, dude. That was killer. I was with my dad that time. That one, and
you can still find that footage on YouTube of me reciting.
Beautiful.
That.
Yeah, that was well done. You know, you killed it. I'm sure I saw you that day, but if I hadn't, that was so cool. My dad was pumped. He was like, let's go. He wanted to start growing that night. I'm like, it's winter, Dad. It's winter.
But you know, Luther Burbank, who you can look up in the Webster Dictionary, to Burbank means to propagate, you know, and you know what he's done for horticulture has been pretty amazing. And he was also, him and Yogananda knew each other.
No way. How cool.
Yeah. Yogananda called Luther Burbank a saint amongst the roses.
Oh my God. What a sweet. So cool.
And so that's kind of how I first came across Luther Burbank. And then, you know, he's just, you know, he settled just south here in Sonoma County, just north of you guys. And
So this is timely because of the birthday. My wife's uncle lives in Sebastopol, and there's areas and just right on the way to your house, Daniel. We visit family, and there's these signs throughout Sebastopol about the gardens, or he did something here in this part of this. You know, it's a beautiful community right there in Sonoma County.
So yeah, maybe we should do Love Grows or Love Shapes the World. Maybe we'll do Love Grows. That's not out there as much. This is page 149 in the book, Love Grows. Maybe it did all start with a prayer in a shack all alone on a mountain. Divine Mother, may the people who come here meet me at the center. May we plant seeds and cultivate dreams. And as love grew in the garden, so did the community around it. We offered prayers and sang holy songs, sat in circles, kissed the earth, broke the soil open with our hands, pulled weeds from our hearts, planted dreams in the ground, and as love grew in the garden, so did everything else. This dream isn't mine, but I see it, and I know you see it too. Great Spirit, let the center we have found become sacred ground. Love springs from the heart. Let this spring become an oasis. Let these dreams become shady trees. And I know we have a ways to go, but here we are in the garden with love in our hearts, dreams in our eyes, and seeds in our hands. And when you cultivate love, it grows. And where love grows, so does everything else.
Nice. Nice, man. That's a good one.
So that's the title track of the book.
Yeah, title track. We're getting the greatest hits tonight. Oh, yeah, it feels good.
And you see, like, the farming and the spirituality. Absolutely. And, you know,
absolutely.
And just growing things is such a joyful experience, you know, no matter whether it's a cactus or a flower or a ganja plant or a tree.
Amen.
Or,
amen.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do have. Go ahead.
No, all I would say is I've had so many interactions with people be like, you really love this plant. Like the flowers, like we're looking at jars and things, and I'd be like, you know, but I love growing more. Because there's something to it. It's like, yeah, the flowers are beautiful and the whole scene and the community, but I love seeds too because of their potential. We have a song in our group, Every Seed is a Prayer, and that's one of our kind of go-to mantras, and, you know, taking that to many different parts of ourselves too, and planting those seeds, planting those prayers.
Yeah, I mean, for me, cannabis was my gateway plant. It was the first thing I ever cultivated.
Wow.
And yeah, it was, you know, my older brother, he had like house plants in middle school in our room, you know, but for me, it was ganja. But now, you know, I'm obsessed. You know, we've got like five different types of lavender. We've
nice,
grow all
man.
Kinds of flowers and fruit trees and cactuses.
Everything. And, yeah.
You know, if you would have told me in high school that I'd be a grown man obsessed with flowers, I would have laughed. Like, get out of here, you know? But I am, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and saving seeds and, you know, the community around that and the regenerative agriculture, because, you know, we need, not only do we need regenerative agriculture, but, you know, we could have regenerative cities, we could have regenerative technology, and we will, you know. And
yeah, it's a process.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how long it'll take, you know, but, you know, we'll get there, you know. You know, it's like, yeah, my, I also have a book I'm working on, which is called Bear Songs, which is like more of my, you know, psychedelic journey, more of my connection to indigenous spirits and ways of life and stuff. But, yeah.
Nice. Tell me about that. That's powerful. We love the songs.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, sitting in ceremonies and, you know, it was like two or three summers ago. I am walking through the forest on the mountain up here, and I find a vulture wing, and I pick it up, and I'm walking, and all of a sudden I hear drumming, and I realize the drumming's in my head and my consciousness, and then I hear, you know, indigenous singing,
wow,
and languages I don't know, and then I sit down, and this poem comes to me. And this is Ancestor Tree. Do you hear your roots calling? Do you hear your ancestry? This is the Ancestor Tree. Have you brought your offerings? Lay them down at our feet. Grandmother, we will hear you speak. Seven feathers in her hand, seven generations on this land. Can you feel the wind? The current's getting stronger. We haven't got much longer. Yes, this is the message. This is all sacred land. This is the reclamation. This is the restoration. This is the birth, the prophecy started with a seed. This is the rising of the phoenix, the healing of a nation, the building of a bridge. I know we still have some rivers to cross. Do you hear your roots calling? Do you hear your ancestry? This is the ancestor tree. Have you brought your offerings? Lay them down at her feet. Grandmother, we will hear you speak. This is the conclave, the gathering of many waters. Have you brought your offerings? Will you hear her speak? Are you listening? the rushing of the currents. It sounds like an ocean thunder coming in. Are you ready to fight with all your heart, to love with all you got? And I'll tell you what you have. In your hands, you are carrying the stars, every single one of them. This is your ancestry. This is the ancestor tree. Lay down your offerings.
Give thanks for that. Wow. That's a we gotta get you on the mic, man. Play some rhythms. Oh my goodness. Do you ever collab? Do you ever get on the mic?
I definitely
do some flows. Yeah.
I have many times. Like, and that's cool. What I did a lot. And you know, I've always been able to like bring my lyrics to the table with like very talented musicians.
It's very special. You know, and that's powerful. We'll come to you, or if you ever make it to Santa Cruz, we should just have a jam.
I'd love to come back down. I haven't been there in a long time.
It'd be nice. It'd be very nice.
I do have a section of poems and on my computer that are like poems, record music that, you know, I would love to do like an album someday or at least.
Yeah, we could lay down just rhythms and keep it open and then have the poems on. In many ways, that's what it is. It's just rhythms with prose on top and.
And supposedly in like ancient Greek, like poetry was always like accompanied by the lute and the, with music.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course. You know? Yeah.
But you know, it goes beyond ancient Greek to, you know, absolutely. Like even I believe the Bible in Aramaic was also like
with rhythms.
Poetry.
Yeah,
it was poetry. Oh my goodness. Like the Bhagavad Gita is a poem. Is a ballad, you know.
Yeah, it's a big ballad, ancient. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Whenever this world becomes too wicked, I incarnate myself to reestablish justice and to vanquish evil."
Whoa!
So there's also fail safes in the world we're living in. You know,
sure. Yeah. Break in case of fire. Yeah, reincarnate. Yeah, wow. Or incarnate for Krishna. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the infinite sometimes comes down.
Just has to lay it down sometimes.
Well, you know, because like I said earlier, you know, free will's been paramount in this version of the universe. So, you know, in order for us to have free will, spirit needed to be completely concealed. So that's the veil of Maya. That's what the Christians call Satan. That is illusion. And it is giving us the illusion that we are anything separate from God, which we never lose because, you know, paradoxes are also real.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then in order, it went full dark, you know, or else it would be like playing hide and seek with a 3-year-old.
Sure.
They'd hide and laugh and you'd be like, "Oh yeah, I found your God. You're right over there."
sure.
So, you know, and it's an incredible gift to have
it is.
Free will. And as I like to joke and say, free will is one hell of a phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, nicely said. Yeah,
there isn't a hell, so we're not there. You know, I think even the Pope just, you know,
that's true.
Well, so that verse from the Gita, that's a lifeline there to, and, you know, and when it gets too dark here, you know, you got to tip the balance.
Yep.
You know, because the mystery of the universe is love. It just, you know, it's how long it takes to find it.
We're in our last minute. That flew. And I want to give it to you. We have 45 seconds before
the wrap. So you can email me, heartrocksforpeace@gmail.com. You know, you can contact me through Heart Rock Mountain Farm, whatever is easier, you know. Get a copy of the book. I also, if you know a venue, maybe I'll come down to Santa Cruz, do a reading.
100%. And I'll read
the last poem from my book.
Perfect.
It's Tree of Love. My heart is full. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My heart is full, but this is just the beginning, for my heart has become a seed. Love has sprouted and will grow forever.
Give thanks, brother. I love you, man.
I love you too, man.
Have a great night. We'll talk soon.
You too. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Santa Cruz. Good night. Perfect. We got it, man.
Cool, man.
That was righteous. Well, let me send you some ideas of potential venues.
Yeah, it'd be fun to set up a reading and signing in Santa Cruz. And
there's plenty of great spots. So I'll put some feelers out, see what people think, and we'll get something going. Yeah,
sometime this spring before we get too busy.
Yeah, spring's perfect.
Yeah,
coming up, it's a good time to talk about it. Give them a couple months to promote. You know.
Cool. That'd be fun.
Nice, man. Well, I'll follow up too with the links and stuff. This was a wonderful show. Say hi to the family for me.
I will.
All right, okay. Man. Have a good night.
Hey.